Moncrief on News Talk.
Sadly, it's still the case that for various reasons, children can end up in a care in this country. But the care system itself is showing considerable signs of strain. The Child Care Project is the body that monitors child protection cases. It's just published its latest report. Carol Coulter is Executive Director. Carol, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Generally speaking, Carol, what would be the circumstances in which a child is even referred to into a child protection case? Where are those things, where do they tend to be discovered?
Well, neglect would be the biggest single thing where children, you know, come to school and it's obvious that, you know, they're hungry, they're dirty, they're clearly don't seem to be thriving, or indeed they're not coming to school at all, or they're coming very intermittently. Very often referrals are received from schools who are concerned about children. Abuse also features physical abuse, emotional abuse, sometimes sexual abuse. And they're the big issues, really. But very often they arise as a result of problems in the family like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sometimes mental health issues. Often the parent is parenting alone and is just a bit overwhelmed by various problems. So that then leads to TUSLA coming to intervene. They might attempt to support the family, or if that doesn't produce the kind of changes in the child's circumstances that are required, then they go to court to have the child taken into care, or sometimes the child might go into voluntary care, often with a relative, because sometimes indeed parents end up in prison. Minority also sometimes in hospital and can't care for their children. So there's a wide variety of circumstances.
Yeah.
But they all mean children, you know, are badly in need of additional support.
And proportionately, would the largest cohort of children end up with a family member?
No, it is a substantial minority, maybe 35 to 40% are with a family member. The rest are in foster carers who volunteer, you know, members of the community who put themselves forward as foster carers. They of course, they're assessed and vetted and so on. And then they take children into their own homes. I mean, there are people who do this for years on end. And indeed, you know, society owes them a great debt because they just do it out of concern for the children. There is an allowance to cover the cost of rearing a child like that, but it's in fact didn't increase for a long period of time, and it was questionable as to whether it met the full cost.
Yeah. Now, do we have enough foster care families at the moment?
No, I think we do need more foster care families, and we also, I think, need families who can be both trained and prepared to deal with children who might have quite complex needs. I mean, there are a number of children ending up in care now whose families just can't cope because the children have special needs, particularly children who were on the autism spectrum. We have a number of cases in our last volume where children with autism ended up in care. And the foster parents, be they relatives or professional foster carers, they will need a lot of support because those children do need additional support. And the numbers of foster families who are caring for children has gone down. The number of children in foster care used to be in the 90%. It's now 86%. So that leaves 14% who are not with foster families, who are in residential placements, which are usually, you know, a house staffed by professional care workers. And then there's also special care, which is a very tiny portion of the whole care system for the most troubled children. And because none of these are actually adequate for the demand, there's been the increasing use of what are called special emergency arrangements. And they're not regulated. They're not within the proper care system, really. And they have proved to be very problematic. The courts are very worried about them because children abscond from them regularly, and the children in these special emergency arrangements are not receiving optimal care.
Yeah, and in these special care arrangements, what kind of places? Is it hotel rooms?
it could be a hotel room, it could be a B&B with a care worker in one room and the child in the other. It could be perhaps a house acquired. These are usually run by commercial entities and they acquire properties. They have a contract with PUSLA to provide residential care, but they're not under HICWA. There have been a number of questions raised over whether or not the staff they have are adequately trained, and in some instances they have not been Garda vetted. So it really is very concerning that a huge amount of money is being spent on these private arrangements. The commercial arrangements, which are quite profitable for the people who run them, but the children are not receiving the kind of supervision and the kind of care that they really need.
Yeah. And I suppose if a child has severe needs, their opinion doesn't really come into it, I assume.
Yes. I mean, these are children who just can't be in foster care because, you know, their needs are really quite complex. And when I say that, I mean, their behaviour can be very, very challenging. And they're children that I'm afraid we often see ending up before the criminal courts because they've been involved in criminality. They are involved in things like joyriding, which puts other people at risk as well as themselves. So this really, although it only involves a relatively small number of children, we're talking about maybe 200 children.
Okay.
But nonetheless, it's a situation which really requires a lot of urgent attention and hasn't received it, at least not sufficient attention, I think, to date.
And so is it fair to say that although it's a relatively small cohort of children, these are vulnerable kids being put into perhaps a vulnerable situation?
I think so, yes. I mean, I think that their vulnerability is really not being adequately catered for. We reported on a case of one girl who was in a special emergency arrangement and she regularly did abscond. I mean, there's no way that these arrangements can actually detain a child or keep the child in during the day. And she and another young girl were on their own around the city where they were being exploited by older men and ended up being sexually abused. I mean, there are investigations going on in relation to that particular case at the moment, but really, that child should have been in special care. And special care is this level of intensive care where the children are detained for their own protection. They receive intensive therapy and they receive education. But the special care beds are not being filled because there is not enough staff. And TUSLA is finding it very, very difficult to recruit and to retain staff in these special care units.
Are there many cases of trafficking that take place into Ireland?
Well, there are. We would have no way of knowing the number of cases, but we've certainly come across instances. There was one instance of a young girl who was actually found on the streets by a passerby. She was clearly unwell. She had no English, and she was eventually brought to the Gardaí, then to the TUSLA, and care proceedings were brought. She was able to tell through a translator what had happened to her. She was basically sold into prostitution by a family who had promised to look after her. There were not relatives in her country of origin, and because her parents and grandparents died and left her in the care of these people who she thought would look after her, and they didn't. They sold her. So she ended up here is now, you know, thankfully for her sake, she is in care, she is safe. And in another instance, a newborn baby was taken into care whose mother was suspected of having been trafficked. Again, the mother clearly at this point had quite serious mental health issues and was in mental hospital. So there were just a couple of examples which we saw. I'm sure there are more. And indeed, there are, you know, Irish children being trafficked by exploitative men who, again, these children abscond from things like the special emergency arrangements, and they're given money, they're given, you know, drinks, they're given drugs, and they're being exploited and being trafficked sometimes around the country for exploitation. That is happening.
When now this report has been published, who reads it, and is there contact with you, or do you expect action on the foot of it?
Well, I mean, this is open public to all members of the public. It's a public access website, www.childlawprojects.ie, and all the reports going back now more than 12 years. We have about 1,200 reports there of different cases. So it's read, I assume, by members of the public, but particularly I know it's read by policymakers, civil servants, politicians and so on. And we do engage regularly with the Department of Children, with TUSLA, and the Department of Children is reviewing the Child Care Act. It's changing it in a number of ways to reflect issues we've raised, issues other people have raised. So there is notice being taken of the points that we raise. And we're not the only people raising these points. I mean, I think it should be said that there are a number of other reports looking at the difficulties that some vulnerable children are facing.
Carol, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Carol Coulter there, Executive Director of the Child Law Project.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.